is J.P. Graw, show number 217, the last day of July, the last day to enter the photo contest for our beginners group or our regulars group, Tim, is today.
Okay. Yeah, that's today.
And if you miss it, you just enter it in August. It's not a big deal if you miss it.
Theme is pretty close to the same.
Theme is, we're going to keep open for a while. I think everyone likes the idea of a theme, but I think that while you may get a group of people who agree on a specific theme, actually going out and doing it. Let's say if you live in the Southern Hemisphere versus the Northern Hemisphere of the world, what's winter to one person may be summer to the other. So it's,
right.
You know, if you do anything that's seasonal, it may not be the same somewhere. You know, plus other, not everybody is into the same thing. So we're not going to do away with themes. We'll have them come back. But for now, and maybe for the rest of this calendar year, we'll do open. For now, if you just, since we're talking about it, if you want to go over there, let's just show how you would go and enter. We'll do that real quick. So you go over to the JPEG to RAW page, jpegtoraw.com/contest, or you can just choose the little icon there. Go over there, and hopefully I remember to update this tomorrow. And you go over there, and you just click on one of these two links, one of those two green dots, and you can enter in either one of our the regulars group or the beginners group, whichever one you feel more comfortable with. And if you don't want to enter that way, you know, this way you'd upload a photo if you, through the webpage. If you're on Facebook, that is the easier way to do it. You just go cursor down, and we have the regular group and the beginners group, and you can just click on that, and the album will be posted to the top of the group. And there's also a link there for how do you enter images into an album on Facebook, because some people have had trouble with that. Then if you want to subscribe to the show, we'd love for you to like us on Facebook or, whatever you do on Facebook. Yeah. Like the page on Facebook so you can get these updates. Subscribe on YouTube, give us a little thumbs up, or go over to jpegtoraw/subscribe, and all my little icons are broken still. I got to update the theme, the plugin, but the links still work. You can get this show either on audio or video. On audio, we're on iTunes, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, TuneIn, and Podbean. It doesn't say that there, but we are on Podbean. On video, we're on iTunes Video, large and small, YouTube, Vimeo, and Podbean. It doesn't say that year either. when I go to fix this, I just need to add that in there. So they're both there. So that's how you get the show. Little plug there at the beginning. Then let's talk about some recent photography news there, Tim. It's 23 days to the countdown, the announcement. 23 days.
Until Nikon loses out even further to Sony.
You know, so I know some people are super excited. Some people are super unexcited. It, you know, whatever. I'm not really either, because I'm not going to run out and buy the Nikon. So what we're talking about is the new Nikon mirrorless full frame that they're going to announce on August 23rd. I don't know if they're just announcing or they're, you know, going to have some available for sale. I would imagine it's just an announcement. And in the announcement, they'll say something when it's available sale, or it'll be shortly thereafter.
Yeah, I would think shortly thereafter, because you already have mentioned that you're going to have an announcement on the 23rd, a month in advance, you're saying about that. So I would imagine at this point, you got to be close to releasing it.
Yeah.
And plus, you want to get it before Christmas, I'm sure, as well, the holiday season.
Absolutely, yeah. For me, I'm happy with my Nikon D500. It is a crop sensor, which is what I wanted for what I do, for the sports and for the landscape, not landscape, for the sports and the wildlife. For landscape, I was thinking eventually getting the D850. And some people would say with the D850 on the Nikon side, you it could do everything this can do. You can shoot in crop mode, whatever else. I don't know. It's a lot of money for the D850. So I'm not rushing to do anything. I will wait and see what's going to happen with the Nikon one. You know, some people say you'd never buy the first gen of anything. This is not technically Nikon's first gen mirrorless camera. They've had a line of mirrorless before. It just wasn't the professional line or the full frame. So they shouldn't be, you know, learning from ground zero. This should be, you know, an evolution of what they've already had. So hopefully they don't suffer some of the first gen problems that people solve. And plus, Sony has solved some of the issues that Nikon shouldn't have to reinvent.
Well, you said, I think you said last week, Nikon's supposedly going to have the sensor is going to move for the, to allow for the shake and everything, so mm-hmm. that it's not separate lenses for everything. I think the big change for this is you're not going to be able to really use your old lenses. So you're not going to count, you're not going to have the base that you already have out there. So it really has to be a showstopper to woo new people over. Right. That's what it's going to have to be. And then the price is going to have to be competitive. If it's priced too much, it's going to be a deal breaker. If it's priced too little, it may not make them enough money.
What is the top of the line Sony going for?
Oh, it's over $3,000.
And what is, which model is that?
The A7 line, because you got the A7, the A7R, and the A7S. The S is the top of the line. I think that's only at the Mark II. I don't think that's Mark III yet.
So we've heard, that, all this is rumor, but we've heard that there's two Nikon mirrorlesses coming out. And I don't know if we know which one is coming first. One of them is going to be more expensive. It may be, you know, along the lines of what your top of line Sony is. And then one of them is going to be a little less expensive. Mm-hmm. There is a unofficial rumored, may not look anything like what the final version looks like, paper version of the Nikon mirrorless camera. I don't know if you've seen this, but somebody has, I guess they took that little teaser video that Nikon did. And what was really dark video, so they lightened it up lot. And this is over on Petapixel. I think it might have actually come from Nikon Rumors or whatever. But they did a little cardboard mock-up of what they think it would look like. Don't get too excited or too disappointed. It's hard to really judge it from what they did. And then mm-hmm. the paper thing kind of throws you off too. But, just as everybody tries to get ready for the Nikon, they did this, and it'll be interesting too what kind of commands and dials they have on it, because I like all the commands and dials on mine. I like having quick access to all these things. I don't want to have to go through to get to my ISO or exposure compensation or any of those things. I don't want to have to go through the menu for that stuff. The less time I spend in a menu, the better. So they have, what, two command dials on this one? One on the right side, one on the left side? I think that's what they're doing. Or is it just one command dial? Can't tell what they are saying over there. This is unofficial, so it doesn't really matter.
Right. It doesn't mean anything. Yeah. I mean, this is somebody's 3D mock-up, so.
But it is fun.
That picture right there looks pretty ugly, to be honest with you.
It does look ugly, but it's cardboard someone painted, and it's
yeah,
whatever. Now, Dave in YouTube chat says he's all in. I guess he's saying he's all in to buy it, and a lot of people will. So for people like me who's going to wait, Dave is going to be the tester for me, and he's going to say how much he loves or hates it or loves it except for this or whatever. I think it's going to be a success for Nikon in a wave of the future. You know, there's been talking about the death of the digital SLR for a long time. Maybe it goes away. I don't think it's going to be an overnight thing. I would imagine.
I don't think it's going to go as quickly as film went. Because film started slow, but then suddenly the death was fast. And I switched over from film. I think my first digital was 2005 when I went on a European vacation. And I don't think I ever used another roll of film, ever.
I think that there'll be...
That's not a good thing either. But I'm not even sure where to get it developed anymore. I mean, used to have a CVS or a Rite Aid or anywhere you could go. Where do you get film developed anymore? You probably got to send it online.
Yeah, true. I think that for a good ways, they're going to continue to develop the digital SLR. Part of it's going to depend upon how fast... You know, Nikon users buy the mirrorless, how fast they develop native lenses for it. Because some people will depend on how good the converters are, but even if they are, some people will say, you know, I don't want a converter. I'm not going to switch over till they have the lenses I want.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
well, I would imagine if Nikon's going to do this and they're coming out with a new mount, they're going to have at least a half dozen lenses to start with.
I think it's only three. I think it's only three lenses they're starting with. Just, 35, a 50, and don't remember the other one.
That's going to, I don't know. They're going to have to expand quicker than that. And well, no zoom in that?
No, I think the third one was a zoom. Okay. I think that, you know, Nikon makes good glass. They'll come out pretty fast with it. Yeah. You know, only thing, you know, I don't do a lot of traveling. So when I did the traveling to Alaska, the one thing I didn't like, even though I usually shoot with a grip on this thing, I shot most of the time without the grip. I brought the grip with me and just left it in the room. Mm-hmm. It feels like a different camera without the grip. It feels much smaller, but even then you stick a 70-200 on this thing.
It's heavy.
And it is heavy as crap. So I'm carrying a backpack or the backpack with it in there, whatever it is, slung on my side. It's a big lens. I know Ron said earlier in chat that he switched to Micro Four Thirds. I don't want to do that, but I wouldn't mind having something a little lighter.
Yeah, I mean, I have the grip on my camera, but when I go on my vacation down Disney, I'm not taking that. I'm probably not even going to keep the 70-200 with me into the parks because really not much of a reason to use it there. I'll probably use my 16-50 the majority of the time.
What I need is a more walk-around lens, something I can have a little bit of zoom, more zoom to it, and a little more wide to it. I don't have a good walk-around. I got the 70-200, and then I have like a 12-24. 12-24 being for a DX camera, so it's like 18-36 or something like that.
Dave's, right, and I have the 16-50, and that's really not – the high end is not enough. I should get something different.
Dave says he still has his first DSLR. I do too. My first one, first real one, was the Nikon D60. Yeah. I still got it. It's over there. It's a 6-megapixel camera. Before that, I had the Olympus E10, which was like a quad. You couldn't remove the lens, but it had a look of it, of one of those. And lots of people love that camera. I hated that camera. I don't know if I had a bad version of it. Max shutter speed of 1/640, I think it was.
Wow.
640th of a second. I also got some kind of pixelization or some kind of weird color drifts in it. It was just, I never liked it. It didn't have a fast focus. And when you start talking to people about the 640 is a huge limit. Why in the comments you get back, and that's where we get the fanboys of our stuff and not critique our own gear, like you made it yourself. You know, I will critique. I'm a Microsoft. I like Microsoft. I like Nikon, but I have no problem criticizing them for what I don't think they do well.
Absolutely, yeah. Because hopefully they'll correct it for you in the future. Absolutely.
Well, they don't listen to me because I've told them a number of times about the Excel changes I want them to make, and they've never made them. The one time they did respond to me, they told me, yeah, that the market for that change is so small that there's no chance we're going to spend time on it. Anyway, we need to talk about that. All right, so I'm sure we'll be getting more and more leaks as we get closer and closer to announcement day on August 23rd. And I'm probably not going to even watch live unless I'm sitting at my computer when it happens.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Tim, you have a sad story talking about advancements in cameras and one of these outcomes or results or whatever you call it, impacts of the advancement of cameras and everybody having them is what's happened here.
Yeah, and this is a daily newspaper from New York that I grew up with, and I always remember it. And you see here, Daily News, and if you look, that's the actual top of the page, Daily News, and right in the middle, it has a camera in their newspaper title, and they just fired all of their staff photographers. And this is a newspaper that was proud to have photographers, called itself New York's picture newspaper, yet all 10 of their remaining photographers, staff photographers, were terminated and or laid off. Same thing, I guess. And they expected announcements coming from it. But suddenly they realized they were the ones that were being terminated. They thought they were the ones that were making money for the Daily News. However, they went. The question came up in part of the article was Daily News had bought another or acquired Tronc, which I don't even know what that was. They only paid $1 for it, but picked up all the operational pension liabilities, which presumably great. So you know, news media is not doing well. Print news media is not doing well, and they got to cut costs somewhere. You see everybody has cameras, so you can anticipate they are going to be looking for people to submit pictures that they can add onto their newsprints versus having staff photographers out there taking pictures. But as the article pointed out at the very end, they talked about how one of the disastrous effects of it is the quality of your reporting. And they talked about the, I think it was the Chicago Sun-Times, how they had terminated their photographers. And when the Chicago won the World Series, they didn't have a staff photographer there. They just had pictures from that was available to everybody. So you didn't have that special shot versus another newspaper in Chicago had of them winning. And it was just a wide angle shot versus a close crop of
wide
them
angle
winning.
Or somebody taking photos with their phone like this, well, that, you know, video like that.
Yeah. I don't know if it was that's definitely a pet peeve of mine. And I corrected people over the weekend again with that. It's like, you don't watch a TV vertically. You watch it horizontally. If it's a video, take it that way.
There is no change in that. That's a,
yeah. And it's so hard. And even when you think of when people take pictures with a regular camera, more often than not, it's not in a portrait mode. So you have a picture of a group of people. Why would you have it with such a huge area of the sky? Yeah. Take it that horizontal way, the way you printed out a picture.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's not, you're not supposed to do it at all, but I can't see the benefits on video at all.
No. I feel sad for these daily news reporters, and it's happened. Yeah. You know, to many prints and many newspapers and magazines and stuff like that over time. It's just, it's jobs that are going away. It's not going to come back. Those photographers are either, you really feel bad for the ones that are older whose career choices now are somewhat limited mm-hmm. and what they can do, or they really have to start over again. The younger ones, maybe they can go out and actually photography now it's become more common than it used to be back when I was younger. It's opened up avenues and places where people can make money that wasn't there before. You know, back when I was graduating, the senior photos really didn't exist unless you did it through the school. And that was you and every other person in the school lining up to take the two or three shots that we're going to take against the, you know, the background. Now you got senior photographers that are taking incredibly creative photos, and there's a lot more people doing it. Some good, some bad, but hey, that's what you get. You by opening that market up like that, you're going to have a lot more choice, and it's going to come with it, good and bad. But I would rather live in that world where my kids, I have a choice in going and getting these senior photos and whatever photos from the talent that we have today versus what we were doing, you know, 20, 30 years ago. Yeah, unfortunately, the side effect is you lose some things like this. I think there's a place, at least for a good while, for talented photographers to make money, just not the same way all the time.
And Janet doesn't like that portrait mode either on people. She's agreeing with us.
Dave was commenting earlier. He said that Nikon 24-120 is a great walk around lens. Yeah, I think I've looked at that one. I need to spend some money on lenses. I haven't bought a new lens in a while.
Yeah, I think that's something along those lines.
I want to. I don't need to. I want to spend some money on some new lenses.
But see, the problem is, do I go out and buy a lens, or do I switch to the Sony A7 line? So do I really want to spend money on another lens if I may not stick with it?
Well, because is it a different mount? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's a different mount.
That is a question. So for me, if I'm going to eventually switch to the mirrorless, I would want to know if they're going to have those lenses. Since I'm not going to be rushing in either direction, I can afford to wait. I do photography for me. It's a hobby. You know, if you're a professional, you may have to make your own decisions. But, you know, if you're a professional, you probably already have most of the lenses you want. All right. Well, that's some sad news. On a brighter note, Tim, they now, you know, we have photo contests for JPEG Raw. There's a mm-hmm. new, somewhat new, area of photography that has taken off for a while now, that they just had the inaugural drone awards. And this is drone photo awards. And some of these are just absolutely incredible. I don't know if you look through these, but this was by the drone awards. Let's see. What was that name? Anyway, I'll put the link in the show notes, but I just wanted to show some of these images that are just absolutely incredible. People taking these. And this was in a nature category, some of these in nature category. I'm just going to scroll through them pretty fast. But obviously a lot of them have landscape, which is what you're going to take from that.
Right, right.
I don't even know what that is. Red Sand Garden. That looks like a massive leaf, but it's actually a river.
A river.
Yeah. And that is a volcano somewhere. I don't know.
That's pretty cool. I would imagine Hawaii.
I would imagine too, but I'm not positive. I definitely don't have any drone photos this good, but check this out. So newatlas.com is the website we're looking at here. Yeah, out in the desert.
Sadly, and my drone died.
What?
My drone died. Something internally with the IMU, which is the internal measurement unit, I guess, will not calibrate. It gets stuck at 1% and says it's not calibrating. So I think it just is telling me that I need to buy a new one.
Well, you know, the Mavic 2 just got announced or leaked.
Yeah. Oh, is it? Yeah, leaked. I think my friend's son has the Mavic Air, and I really liked it. It's smaller. Really, that's all I need.
So some incredible photos there with taken with a drone and entered into a contest. And these are just, you know, a different angle. They're beautiful. So speaking of drones and your new Mavic 2 that you're going to be buying, a friend of mine whose daughter is a junior in high school, she had a senior shoot just this past weekend, and normal senior shoot. And she asked him, the dad, hey, would you mind during the shoot taking some photos of the shoot going on and of me with your drone? Now, of course, that's the opposite of what my kids would say. My kids would say, I'm not doing a senior shoot, and don't bring your drone around and take photos of me. But anyway, she wanted that. So he took, and the photographer was okay with it. He brought his drone during the shoot, and they only had two batteries, so he couldn't last the whole shoot. But he got some really cool shots of her and the different poses that they were doing, you know, with the photographer with mm-hmm. that, so to add to the collection, which I thought was a really cool idea.
I think so, yeah. Hey, people just have to be open to it sometimes.
Yeah, it's not just for spying, although the new Mavic 2 has a zoom mode.
Yeah, but I think it was a 24 or a 48 millimeter lens. So it's not really.
As long as it doesn't become too zoom, because then you might really be, not me, not you.
Right. But then, you're going to have somebody do some stupid. Yeah. And you don't hear people complain about the drones nearly as much anymore. But I did read it's supposed to have a Hasselblad sensor in it?
Yeah.
And a pretty large sensor, too, to top it off. So, but I was looking at my friend's pictures. I mean, stunning pictures that come out of the camera. The video, absolutely beautiful. It takes 4K video. Now that mine's dead, I think I'm gonna sell it on eBay as is and see what happens. If I can get it.
Somebody might buy it for some of the other parts, you know, that they can use.
Exactly. Because the camera's still good on it, the body is still good. So I'm sure somebody needs parts of it. It's gonna come with two batteries, it'll come with the controller. So you know, people want that.
I have two friends, two people that work for me, the brothers, work mm-hmm. in different departments. And they have crashed every single drone they have bought. And when I say crash, the first drone they bought.
When I say crash.
The first drone they bought, they flew it up over a tree and never saw it again. No idea where it went. I've never seen
what
it
kind
again.
What kind of drone?
That was only like the $100 drone.
All right. Yeah. The SEMA that we had.
Yeah. Then they got another one where they put it in sport mode. It wasn't the Mavic. They put it in sport mode and got up to 40 miles an hour and misjudged a fence and ran smack dab into the fence. Then they put two of them into a pool. So these guys are a little insane.
They should not be using it.
But and for them, they might buy your drone and use some of the parts to fix one of theirs.
Who knows?
All right. So
right, that's why I looked it up and I can get a decent amount for it still.
Okay. All right, Tim. So I have a question for you.
Shoot.
I don't know if you saw this article, and I don't see – there's one guy I know he's going to know what I'm going to get to at the very end. I don't see him out there, so hopefully he does. If you come in and you hear me, don't ruin the end. It's not a big climatic thing. It's just something I'm going to say at the end. But anyway, there's this article out there on photographytalk.com, and it's talking about the eight life stages of a photographer.
Okay.
And whether there's eight or not, or six or whatever it is, I thought it was kind of interesting to go through, because the first one is the unphotographer, and that's one I was talking to today, lady who works for me. They're just getting into photography. They don't know anything about photography. They don't know, you know, any of the words. They're just and having fun taking shots and, you know, getting a feel for getting into it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, most of us started at that stage where you got your first camera and you didn't know really anything about it, but you're taking photos with it and you're enjoying it and you want to learn more.
Right.
Right. So hopefully we're all past that stage. I wouldn't mind someday, and it was the original thing. I've mentioned this before. This is the original thought behind JPEG to RAW. It's really geared toward this group in the stage two people, I think. The people that are early on that, you know, I can help. I think of, if you ever watch a show where AD is on, and you're a Star Wars fan, which you are, I think of him as, I think of AD as like Yoda. and I think of me, this is going to be a little bit of an exaggeration, but let's just go with it. I think of me as more like Obi-Wan. And, you know, when Yoda trains an apprentice, they become a great Jedi. When Obi-Wan trains an apprentice, they become Darth Vader. so because he doesn't, you know, doesn't have the skills to really train somebody else. But I figured that.
Yeah, but Yoda trained Count Dooku, so.
That's true. And he didn't realize that the Emperor was standing right next to him all that time. So come on.
Yeah.
How good is Yoda?
How good was he with the Force?
Yeah. I think that's just a fatal flaw in the whole show. Anyway, I think with my skills, I could actually help these people. So I wouldn't turn them into Darth Vader. I just have to hand them off later on. So that's stage one. Stage two is I have to photograph everything. So, you know, you got into it. You got your cell phone. At least they're holding it right. They're holding it right, but they're taking photos of food. To be honest, some of us still go back to the stage. Like when I was on vacation, I was taking photos of everything and with my phone because it's so easy, and sending them off to, you know, texting to people, putting them on Facebook. If you're a Facebook friend of mine,
did it today.
You might have got tired of some of that. What did you do today?
I was out on a business lunch and I had a tuna taco. I sent the picture to my wife. I was like, look what I'm eating.
But, you know, is sometimes as frustrating as the viewer getting all their photos can be, this is really where you're starting to get the bug for photography, I think. So it's not necessarily a bad stage unless you stay here forever. Yep, I've even taken some selfies lately. So if you're one of my Facebook friends, you might have seen some. I know Tim sees some when I'm walking on a trail.
Yes.
Then stage three, we move into the gassy photographer. And before you think that he has some kind of stomach problem, this is a gear acquisition syndrome where you're going out and you bought the bug. You know you got to move beyond your phone. You're buying all kind of gear. You know, you're looking at, do I need that new Sony or a new Nikon D850 and all the lenses and everything? You're buying all this gear. You're way ahead of your skill level. With getting all this stuff, the camera and the lens aren't what's holding you back, but you are, you know, enamored with it. And you're shooting
in full auto mode to top it off.
Yeah. And to be honest, I think sometimes we're still here too. You know, gear lust doesn't really go away sometimes.
No, it doesn't.
If you have gear lust, you may be all the way in the final stage, but you still may have gear lust. All right. Stage four is the I'm an artist photographer. This is where you've learned your camera, you're learning the f-stops, you're learning how to take good photos, and you spent a lot of time reading and doing videos. Sometimes I feel like this is where I'm at.
Maybe, yeah, I was just thinking that's probably closer to me.
I think when I looked at this, I'm in stage four or five. I have to look at what six said. Let's see. Oh, and they say the strongest indication that someone has reached stage four is an abundance of artistic, in quotes, photos in their Facebook album or Instagram or Flickr or whatever else. All right, then the stage five. I often feel like I'm in this one. I'm stuck. I've said
no, suck. I suck.
I suck photographer. Yeah, I said that right. Because you feel like you feel like that you can't take anything right, that everything you take is wrong. You just can't get a good photo. So I think that's probably the best place where I'm at is maybe in that one. It's like I can't get the photos that I want. It's just not working out for me. But I'm hoping that this moves me into the next stage, because it says, but after the sadness and disappointment subsides, the eyesuck photographers pick themselves up, dust themselves off, and set out to figure out the world of photography. So there's hope for us stuck in stage 5. Then stage 6 is the it's not you, it's me photographer. And this is where they understand that when a photo sucks, it's because they made a mistake, which is kind of a stage 5 or whatever we did before thing. Yeah. I think so too. And you work on, let's see, instead these photographers realize that it's their fault that an image is poorly composed, underexposed, or doesn't have a strong subject and so forth. That composition part is something we spend on the photo review show that is, to me, is really difficult. Some of the technical stuff I'm okay with, a lot of technical stuff I'm okay with. But the composition is something that's, especially when I come across a scene that's just, the scene is gorgeous, the whole scene, but I don't know how to convey that and get that across to the viewer later on. All right, then there is stage 7, the
Insta-famous.
Insta-famous. This is where you're actually getting really good, and you're starting to pick up, viewers and followers and that kind of stuff, and big on Instagram and Facebook and just tons of followers. But I think you're still in the, you're not a professional photographer here. Oh, this is a good quote though. This is a good quote in this thing. It says, but what their followers don't realize is that the Insta-famous photographer is working their tail off to make the most of every single press of the shutter. So often when we see another photographer who we love that photographer, and they take gorgeous photos, we all have lots of photographers we follow there and just take wonderful images. If you're in the early stages of this list here, you probably think that this person can't take a bad photo and don't realize how hard they work to get there and how hard to continue to work to do that. You want to think that you're famous, then post your, let's see, Gary says, you want to think you're famous, then post your pictures on Flickr. Yeah. And even use manual mode to 0. Okay. Then let's go to the holy crap, I'm actually
holy
good
crap,
photographer.
I'm actually good.
Stage 8, the final stage.
Wow, these are some nice shots.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about the last one there that I haven't shown yet. Most of us never reach that stage. I don't think I'll ever reach that stage. I don't plan on. Not that you have to make a living in this stage, and I don't know if I agree with this many stages, 8 of them. That's not going to necessarily fit everybody's path. But it says these are the folks that take photos for a living and whose very livelihood depends on them being very good at what they do. And then it shows, of course, that one, which is that's a good photo, and it shows this final one.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually saw somebody, one of the guys who's in our Facebook group, posted a comment about this article. He didn't post this photo, but he commented about this article. So if you read this article, let's say if you are that lady I just talked about at work who is just getting in photography, or you're in our beginners group, although we have some people who I would not consider beginners in the beginners group, but whatever, you're in the beginners group and you look at this photo and go, wow, that is absolutely fantastic. I hope I can take a photo like that someday.
Mm-hmm.
There's a problem with this photo.
It's HDR, I'm guessing, or,
well,
it's
HDR.
It's a composite.
It's a composite. This is not a photo of something that actually existed.
Yeah.
So I think in an article like this,
it's a bad placement of a picture.
When you're talking about photographers and the stages of photography, they shouldn't have ended with a photo that is actually a composite. That while it had to be good photos they composited, to me, this is more about the editing skills than it is the photography skills.
This is more artistic.
Yeah. And if you're going to do that, you should have at least commented right below it that this is a composite. Something to do that, because if you don't know any better, you are thinking that photographer is absolutely fantastic.
That's where the picture above it, the guy that's taking the picture with the tripod, to me is a better picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's tons of photos they could have chosen as the final image.
I mean, you're talking about Ansel Adams in this stage.
Yeah.
You know what? Put a picture that he took up here.
Right. Right. I'm not against composites, just that don't pass it off.
That's not what the intent of the article is,
don't,
right?
Don't pass it off as a not
holy
composite.
Crap, I'm a good photographer. This.
Yeah. Now, with that comment, I don't know if you are a follower of Tony and Chelsea on YouTube. I'm sure some of the people out there listening are. And I know that actually I was watching their interview of Moose Peterson today, which was a painful interview to watch, by the way. I'll get into that in just a second. But I saw one of the Philip, I can't remember his name now. Philip, hold on. I'll get your name. If you remember back in June, we had a photo that was entered that was two cedar wax wings here. I'm going to put it here. Philip Pattern. Philip Pattern, probably saying that wrong, entered this photo into our contest in June, and he got it. It was on, there you go. Tony and Chelsea's interview with Moose, and they were going through nature photos or, you know, wildlife photos, and Moose was critiquing them. And I like this image. You know, it's, right. Is it world class? No. Is it something I would have been proud to take? Yes. Moose was very critical of this, amongst other things. So don't, Philip, don't take it personal. He was critical of a lot of stuff. But as we looked at that last image, the reason I jumped into this, one is to, let me go ahead and say, you know, Tony and Chelsea just passed 1 million subscribers on YouTube, which is, in what we do in photography, there's not a lot of people who reach that level of subscribers. So that is a milestone, a very big milestone. So congratulations to them, whether you are a fan of theirs or not, that's a big milestone to reach. But they were interviewing Moose, and one of the things I asked them is, do you crop in post-processing? You know, if you're out there taking photos of wildlife, and you can see this is a crop, it looks, more of a little bit more square. If you are a wildlife photographer, and most of us don't have 600 millimeter lenses, you're going to do a little bit of cropping. And even if it's, anything, you're probably doing a little bit of cropping. And even if you're not doing cropping, most of us are going to do post-processing, right?
Yes. I mean, even if I crop a picture, I'm going to make sure I'm straightening it out.
You may do some white balance correction. You may do a little bit of highlights and shadows. You may do a little bit of sharpening. You're going to do some post-processing to that, right?
Yes.
Now, not to the extent of that photo we just saw, not Phillips, but the photo at the end of that article, not to that extent, because that's, one, I don't have the skills to do it, but that's, I would have to have a certain purpose to that. That is a composite. It is not, I think you've gone beyond just a photo. Nothing wrong with it, but it's a little bit much. But here's what Moose said when Tony, I think it was, asked him, do you crop your images or post-process, whichever he said. He says, no, I'm a photographer. And I think that threw them off a little bit. And following up with that question, he doesn't do any post-processing on his images.
He takes a picture. Well, that
in his,
he was originally a film photographer.
He was. But I think
he's used to getting the picture right in camera.
Yeah, in his mind, that a photographer takes photos and doesn't need to do any post-processing. Now, he will bring the raw image. He does shoot raw. He'll bring it into camera raw, and he will output it from there. He doesn't edit it, but you need to let those whatever the camera raw settings and then save it with that, I guess, whatever. But watching that, he's a very, very talented photographer. Been doing this a long time, but in some ways I felt like he was what's wrong with some of the old school photographers. Very critical in a way. If you listen to AD give critiques, they're constructive and not hurtful. And I know if you're getting a critique, sometimes you may feel a little more personal about your image, But I never felt like, whoa, tone it down, AD. He's always very good and helpful with that. Moose was, in my opinion, was somewhat critical and very, not very, he was somewhat combative with Tony and those guys too. And you could see they felt a little uneasy. I only made it through about halfway. And I know that, who was it that Ron said he couldn't finish the interview. I don't know if it got worse as it went on. Jan says it was painful. Gary says Moose was a knucklehead. I don't know if he didn't want to be there or what was going on there, but it's tough. And maybe he's trying to give tough love. You don't want to do the thing where you are the singer who learns are no good when they get on the stage at American Idol. But I think he went a little bit overboard. I would recommend that you watch it and at least part of it and get your own opinion. But I thought it was interesting. He said no post-processing. I would love to get it right in camera, but I think even if I got it what I thought was right in camera, I would still have a little bit of post-processing to do.
Dave's like, he was hilarious. He has very thick skin.
You would have to. Whatever. Yeah. He's a talented photographer. He's been around for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a Nikon ambassador, which I'm fine with too, because I'm a Nikon guy. All right, so that is that article. I wanted to bring up something. Let's go to this thing here, which is I posted in our Facebook group. I don't know if you saw this, and I don't know if this is a problem I need to solve, but I'm going to buy one anyway. This is what they call the universal lens cap. And it basically, you get one for $25. I'm probably going to just buy the one so that I only spend $25. And let's see if I can get to the little video where I can show you what it does and see what you think about it. And if anybody out in chat, where's the video? Is it just this? Maybe it's just this. I thought they had a YouTube video. Well, you just have to watch this little thing that's going on here.
So it covers the whole lens? Oh, there it goes. Yeah, it covers. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, so you just kind of flip it over that. But there was a video. And that video's not come across very choppy.
Seems like a lot to do with to put it on, though. You got to use two hands to do it. The universal lens cap.
Yeah.
So you bought it already?
No, I'm going to probably buy it later tonight.
All right, you be the guinea pig.
Yeah, I'll be the guinea pig, and I will report back. So
now, what's the benefit supposed to be then, other than it fits every lens that you have?
Well, that's interesting. Hold on a second. I have lost that.
The player of it, yeah.
I have lost that computer. It's not responding right now.
Oops.
We'll have to see what's going on with that thing. I think whenever it connects, it's not letting me in. Okay, hold on a second, guys. There we go.
Now the question is, can they hear us? Coming back now.
Well, I don't think we ever dropped off.
The YouTube looks frozen. Oh no, you're right. We're moving there on the side, but the that main screen there is.
You're right. All right, so let's go back to us for a second as we wait and see what's.
So what's the benefit of the lens cap then?
The lens cap thing is supposed to be a little more, it's rubberized. Right. So it's supposed to, provide a little more protection, like seal it from dust and water and all that kind of stuff. They show a video.
Seal the dust in.
Yeah, they show a video where you can basically bounce it around and everything else.
Well, yeah, I guess since it's rubber, you can actually bounce off the front of it. But I would be concerned, and they showed it with the 7200 on there, and it goes back about 2 inches over the front end. But if you're hitting the front of your camera off something, you're damaging the mount to your camera also, because it's going to put stress somewhere.
Absolutely,
so
yeah.
I wouldn't be doing that. Just because you have that on, that doesn't mean you should pay less attention.
Yeah. All right, so what I'm going to do is close something down over there and see if we can't get that feed going again. So I'd like to show that. So just bear with me for a second through technical difficulties. We'll close that. Start it back up. Because we're going to need that for next thing. All right. Maybe what we'll do. There we go. Okay. Let's go back to this. And I'll let this play. Is it going to play?
Yeah, it's playing.
It's a little choppy. But something happened here. So you have to just kind of imagine it's not choppy. And you can see them throwing it down. I would never do that to one of my lenses. Rubbing it in dirt, covering it in dirt. We would never do that to one of my lenses. But what they're saying is it's supposed to seal it. Now, of course, that's with a lens that both the front and back, you know, lens cap is completely covering up the lens. With a larger lens, it wouldn't work.
Throwing it in water, yeah.
Anyway.
I order $25, okay?
I order one, $25. We'll see how it goes and see whether I like it or not and whether it's worth the $25. I can't imagine it's going to be harder to put on than the current lens because I can lens cap, because I can put the lens cap on, you know, right here. I can take that off. Mm-hmm. Put it on with one hand. I don't need two hands.
Exactly.
Yeah, I never really felt that that was really lacking. So this maybe is trying to solve a problem that doesn't exist. But we'll give it a try. All right. Last article I had, Tim, is something a little fun. And this is not a video, so it should go a little easier. This is
the Shutterbug one?
Yeah, this is the Shutterbug one. This is where a husband turns his wife's 5K race into a hilarious Photoshop meme. There's not a lot of examples here, but I thought it was pretty cool, something to do. She won her age group. She won the race for her age group, which was something. But he really loved her facial expression. And as you can, we go down to the next one, you kind of see, there she is running the race. You can see that little facial expression.
Well, the first one, that's the Forrest Gump. She replaced Forrest Gump in that when he had everybody following him.
Oh, this one top up here?
Yep, the very top one.
It's either that or it's The Walking Dead.
No, that's Forrest Gump. Okay. Well, you know what? I think it's Forrest Gump.
Well, I thought there was. So he does some down here. I think this is all the examples we have.
Yeah.
He has Voldemort. Voldemort, whatever. He has.
He must not be named.
He has Star Wars. He has, yep. What is that?
What's one to live? Is that Jurassic Park or something?
That looks like Jurassic
Park. Captain Jack Sparrow
Captain
on
Jack
the left.
Sparrow. Not sure what that one is. This is The Walking Dead in the middle. Running of the Bulls, maybe?
Yeah, probably.
And I don't know what that one is.
I don't know what the right.
Well, that was pretty good. Go over to...
Steven says definitely Forrest Gump.
Okay.
Well, that's actually pretty cool. Yeah, you know what?
It is something cool to play around with your wife like that. I would, you know, I would... Or your husband, whatever.
And he flipped the picture. That's pretty funny the way he did it, too.
I would, you know, some of these that were a little bit better, I might print one and put it on the wall. That's kind of a fun thing to do with some of the photos like that. All right.
Now, the funny thing is because he flips the arm around from one to the other, but at the same time, he had to flip the number around on her.
Which one are you talking about?
Because if you look at the one with Voldemort, her left hand is the one that is up. On the one beneath the Jurassic Park, it's her right hand.
Oh,
but
yeah,
it's the same
yeah.
picture.
Yeah.
It's the same picture, just reversed. But that means he had to also redo the number, I think.
Yeah, no, he had to do some stuff there.
Pretty funny. Pretty funny.
That is funny. That is funny. All right. So for the last thing, Tim, I don't think this is going to work to go over there because that computer is messing up, but I'm going to show it to you. We talked about this Sunday, and Jan had a great question about cleaning your sensor.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked a little bit about that, and I wanted to bring it up now in case anybody who watches this later has questions about how do you clean your sensor. I'm not going to do a live cleaning right now because
we've done that before.
We've done it before. I did it wrong and I didn't mess up my sensor, but I did it wrong. And I just want to give a brief overview, and someday I should do one that is specific to, just do one where that's all I do is that video, a little short 5-minute one. AD had a great, way of doing it that I didn't think of. So I was taking, I took a lens. So what you want to do is take a lens, bump it up to like F22 or something like that, whatever the top end of that is, because the more you stop down, the more that dust is going to show in the sensor.
Right.
And then he took a white screen on his monitor. And he shot that white screen rather than I went out and tried to find a white wall.
Oh, that's actually, I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Went out and tried to find a white wall in the house, evenly lit it, and then did that. And so he says, no, shoot your screen with a white background, with a white image on there, and you can do that. That's much faster because I could sit right here and do it all. And then, you know, bring it into Lightroom or Photoshop, whatever your editing thing is, and look for all those dust specs. And then the first step is, you know, you take your lens off, whatever. You hold your camera upside down, and you take a rocket blower. This is just like he had. It's a, what's that, a Gitz, Gitto, G-I-O-T-T-O, really cheap over on Amazon. You get that, you stick it up, you know, you're up in there not too far. You don't want to touch anything, and just blow on it really hard, and get out whatever dust you can. And then what you could do is slap on another lens, take another photo and see, do you still have some specs? I had, when I did it, I had some specs. Even I wouldn't come off with this, the rocket blower. Are you picking up something you have?
Yeah, something else that I had. So this is mine. It's a visible dust one.
Ah, okay.
But I also have, which came specific, I don't know if it was specific to the camera. There's a chance I can get this out because I need to do mine. I was looking at mine. So this little piece here.
The heck?
You take this.
I can't see it.
So you put it in through it, and then this whole thing goes in your camera so that you can't jam it in past. It won't, when it's put in, it can't reach the sensor.
That looks like it's far enough to reach the sensor. I don't get how that works.
Well, no. Maybe I got it backwards. Scratch that. It's backwards. This is the mount to my camera.
Okay. Now it's making more sense.
Yeah. So you go in this way.
Like, what, and now you can't get past it. 6 inches from your.
So because I had taken pictures this weekend, and it took me hours to go through the skyline to pull out all. It was painful. Even though Lightroom does make it easy, I shouldn't say hours, but it was painful either way.
So did
it
felt that, like hours. Did that little contraption come with the blower?
It came with this. Yeah.
With the blower. That's cool. Is that mount specific to your camera brand?
Specific to my camera.
Okay. Do I imagine they sell different mounts for different cameras?
Right. Visible dust. So I bought that a couple of years ago, and it's so you can't, you know, you're going in there, you're getting, when you start doing it, you get excited, you're squeezing, and then you may easily hit the sensor.
You know, when you start doing like that, you know, you're moving that thing. And so, and you want to get as much force in there as you can to try and get some of that stuff out. You just don't want to touch. You're not actually touching the sensor, it's the glass before that. But
the important thing is you want to make sure you talk about the blower, and yours probably has it also. It's specific to cameras because it has a filter on the backside, so you're not introducing dust when you're blowing air into it.
Does it have a filter?
It probably does. If it's meant for it, it probably has a filter.
Well, I can't look through it, so it has something.
Yeah, so there's a filter to prevent you from adding contaminants onto your sensor at the same time. That's why they tell you not to use one of those compress cans. You might freeze it.
Well, they have gas in it, so you don't. They have gases in there. You don't want to use it. So then, I have, and I don't think you can use these on Sonys. I think there's a different one, but there's controversy whether you can actually use it on a Sony. I have the iLED, IEYELEAD, which is this little device here.
Right.
You take this out and you dab it onto the glass in front of the sensor. And that will pick up, you know, you're only wanting to really do it where you have to. That will pick up those specks that won't come off when you blow them. And then there's some little papers that the mistake I made when I did this live a year or two ago is there's a thing you peel off of this to make this sticky. So that when you stick this onto it.
Right, because you only use it once. Right.
Yeah, when you stick this onto it, those things you picked up with it come off of this, and you have a clean little gel again that you can go back to your camera. I was just doing it on top of the plastic and not getting it off, but it actually worked. I got the sensor clean. So you do that, and that cleaned my sensor. I was able to clean my sensor. There are some other things that AD showed where, and I have one of these, just, I've never even opened it. Visible dust where, yeah, you have the little strips. You have a little, solution that you put on there.
That's meant for the green ones.
Yeah.
Rubbing up against it.
I just don't like.
I used it once and it worked very well. But when you have really stubborn dust on there.
If you don't feel comfortable with that, you can send it off.
If you get to that point, I think you're probably better off.
But, you know, at some stage, for me, if you're going to be out and about and you're going to get dust on it, you want to, you know, to go out and learn at least some basic, you know, dusting, getting dust off, at least with this. I will say that to do that, to really blow this stuff out, there's a setting, and I was going to show you over there, but go into your camera. On mine, and this is a Nikon D500, I'm not going to be able to show it to you, but going into the settings setup menu, there's a setting called lock mirror up for cleaning. That's different than the bulb mode, because when you're in bulb mode,
it can slap
back down. You do not want it to slap back down while you're doing it. So you do that. I tried it earlier. I was going to show you how earlier. Go into that menu choice and what it looked like. It was grayed out. So what the heck? Why is it grayed out? Well, on at least on this camera, and I believe others too, if the battery is not fully charged, in this case, that battery that I had before was maybe only a quarter left, they gray that out because you don't want to run out of battery while you get that thing locked up. Yeah. So you want to do this with a fully charged battery. You're not going to be doing it long enough to use up all the battery, but at least you won't have to worry about that. Lock up that mirror. If it has a lock up function for the cleaning, for cleaning it, and do that. Some cameras also have a way to try themselves, the sensor, to get some of the dust off. This D500 has a cleaning thing. You can try that too. Try those things prior to sticking anything in there and trying to get it off yourself.
And I think what you mentioned at the beginning was to hold the camera with it facing down so the dust that gets lodged loose falls back out of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, my video is lagging. I don't know why on YouTube.
I see my video.
And sadly, the picture looks clear, so I don't know why.
I don't either. Let's go ahead and we're going to go ahead and go into wrap up the show and then go into post show, and we'll not solve these problems tonight, but at least it'll be a post show. All right. Tim, that was the last little bit I had. I need to figure out what's going on with the setup and why I couldn't show that, those menu choices, and scroll through that, because I have the gear here. It just wasn't working tonight. We'll do that some other time. And we'll be back. Was it next week? 2 weeks you need off?
I'm here next week, then 2 weeks off.
So we'll most likely be here next week. And whatever it is, until next show, keep it raw. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.